Praise God. Okay, here we are, Luke chapter 24. What I love about Luke chapter 24, I just want to point out a couple things, and then I'm going to kind of do a teaching and a sharing here. And the title of my message is called The Fullness of Truth, because of what God wants to do here. And it takes place on the first day of the week. And Luke chapter 24 takes place. I believe that Luke did it on purpose. He kind of set it up so that he would just kind of let people know Sunday is God's day. I think he was just trying to let us know what was going on that day, and he kind of gathered it all together because he wanted to communicate to people how powerful the Lord's day is and how strong it is. And so he puts all this stuff together on that very first day of the week, which is Sunday. It's the beginning. Sometimes we see Sunday as the last day, but no, Sunday is the first day. It's the first day when God has done some amazing things, and we start to discover what God has done over the weekend. Praise God. Amen. So I'm starting in verse 1 because I just want to give you a little talk about what's happening on this first day, and then we're going to focus on a particular section there. But I just want to tell you here, first of all, if you look at verse 1, it's that first week they go to the tomb, and they came there, and they find out that Jesus is not there. And so the Son of Man, he reminds them what's going on, and they were just in total shock, right? And then Peter ran to the tomb. He looks in the tomb, and he sees the tomb is empty, and he doesn't know what's going on. And then that same day, two disciples are walking to a village 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and Jesus walks with them, and they don't see him yet. So they're still not getting it, all right? On that very first day, the very first day. And so after that, it says, Jesus says in verse 25, he says, "Oh, you foolish ones, why aren't you believing what the prophets say?" And then he begins to look at verse 27. It says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Everybody say, all the scriptures. That God has truth for us in all the Word of God. But they didn't see it. They did not see it. After all that time with Jesus in his ministry, they couldn't see it yet. And so they got near the village, and he said they were so pulled by their heart. Here's where God can move you in your heart before your head catches up. God will move you in your heart. He'll touch you in a way and you don't know what's going on, but then all of a sudden, your head starts to catch up a little bit. And so they saw him, and then he disappeared. And then he appeared to his disciples, starting in verse 36, and they thought they were seeing the Spirit. And then he says, "No, no, 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 touch me. Touch my body. Touch my body." And then he says in verse 44, which is where we're going to really dig now here. Okay, guys? In verse 44, this is where he begins to explain some things that I want to talk about the fullness of truth today. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me." Everybody say, "Everything written about me." That's everything written about him. Look what he says. "In the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Everybody put your fingers up and go, "Law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms." The three parts of the scripture, the three sections of the scripture that they were familiar with, and I could give you the Hebrew names, but we don't need to know that. Just the law, the prophets, and then all of the poetry, or the Psalms. All three of them testify to Jesus. All three places that he began to show them about himself. And they had to be fulfilled or full. They had to be filled up full. And then he says in verse 45, then, after touching them in their hearts, touching them with everything that they were doing, they were wondering what was going on, he did something so important that I believe that is part of our mission as a church. It says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written. See, we need to be able to know what is written in the scriptures so that we can say it is written in whatever situation that we are in. And then he said, this is what's happening. Forgiveness of sins, suffering, repentance preached, all this stuff. And behold, I'm sending, look here, verse 49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay into the city until you be clothed with power from on high. See, Jesus came that we might have the full understanding in all of the scriptures. In all of the scriptures. And they basically are categorized in three different sections. The law of Moses. Everybody say law of Moses. Okay. Then you have the Psalms of David. And then you have the prophets. And I want you to think Isaiah right now. Because Isaiah is the I would call the daddy of the prophets. He's the grandpappy. He's the starter of the line. If you trace your genealogy to prophets, Isaiah is your oldest one. It's the one that, to me, is the poppy of all the prophets in the sections of the book. So let's think. Law of Moses. Ready? Say it. Law of Moses. Then you've got the Psalms of David. And then you have the prophets. That's it. God wants to give us a fullness of the truth from all three places. And they're all special and they're all different. And I'm going to give you just today how Matthew communicated that to his people when Jesus came. So now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at three miracles. Three miracles. Okay, in Matthew chapter 8. All right, so go to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to show you this, fullness of truth. See, this word for understanding means to put things together. And so many times God will speak to you, and he'll speak to me, and he's speaking to us, and for some reason we just don't put the stuff together. I believe this, guys. I believe that God speaks to everybody, whether you're saved or not saved. The problem is, they're just like a bunch of Legos on the floor, and you don't know how they go together. Or it's like getting a bag of parts from something you ordered and you don't know how to put it together because you don't have the instructions. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. God's been speaking from the moment you were born to you. But what happens is you need someone to show you how to put the pieces together. It's a puzzle or it's instructions. When you order something, you know, online and you got to, how many of you have been super frustrated one time when you try to put something together and it just doesn't work, right? It's super frustrating. But the Holy Spirit is there to show you how to put the pieces together. And everybody that you meet, I believe, has the pieces together. that God's been speaking to them their whole life. They just don't know how to put together. And God can use you to help them. Amen? So here is Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he came down to the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean. I will. So be clean." And what happened? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "Say that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So here we have a healing miracle. This is amazing. But this first miracle deals with the law of Moses. And you find that in Leviticus chapter 4. So Matthew puts up this amazing miracle of leprosy. And he says, this leprosy, guys, is Jesus fulfilling the law of Moses. So if you look in Leviticus chapter 4, and you could just mark it there, but it's all about how you take care of a leper that's clean and how you restore him back to Israel. And you see, leprosy was the most harmful, sick disease out of all the diseases in Israel. You know why? They were not allowed to be a part of the people. They had to be separated. They were cut off. You can have any kind of disease in Israel and hang out with your fam. But if you had leprosy, you were cut off from God's people. Yeah, well, I think it has to do, the question was, is it because it was so contagious? The answer is yes, and also the fact of what it represented. Because leprosy represents what? Sin. And sin will cut you off from God. And only by the healing of your sin can you be made a part of the family again. Sin separates you, right? Doesn't the scripture say that? And so the law of Moses was dealt with in this story. Matthew says, okay, we're going to show Jesus in the law of Moses right here. And what did he do? He says, God, and this is an amazing issue that always needs to be settled. God, is it your will for me to be healed? Jesus forever settled it. What did he say? Yes, be healed. Forever settled. Forever settled. God, Jesus, do you want me healed? It's your choice. He put the choice of healing in God's hands. Once he did that, he knew what the answer was going to be. Because God's always good, isn't he? We can trust ourselves with God's will because we know that God is good all the time. And so he said, Lord, is it your will? And he said, yes. And he put it there so that, because the whole point of the law of Moses is like doing what God wants you to do. Right? Isn't that what it, God pretty much, the whole point of the law of Moses is pretty much telling you what you need to do. And so Jesus settles that. Here's my will. Be healed. Here's my will. Be healed. Here's my will. And I'm going to show you in the law of Moses this is my will. This is my Messiah. I am the healer. I'm the God who heals you. And you're going to see it in the leper, because when the leper was cleansed, he was healed in such a way that it was more than just the outside of his skin, but he was healed in his heart. And now he is a part of God's people forever. Never cut off, not put outside, forever a part of God's people. And it's in the law of Moses that Jesus revealed himself in the law of Moses as Messiah, the healer. So now we're going to see healing next. Okay, the next one is we're going to see healing in the Psalms. You ready? Next story. So we first saw healing in the law of Moses with the healing of the leper, right? Leviticus chapter 4. You can read it sometime. It was very, very clear. Now we're going to see healing in the Psalms. Jesus in the Psalms. All right, let's read the story. We did this last time I preached. I talked about the centurion. And so the next verses have to do with chapter 5, verse 5. And it's about the centurion who is a Roman. He was a heathen. He was a not Israel person at all. He was outside Israel. And he came to Jesus and he said, "My servant's laying paralyzed." And Jesus said, "I'm going to come and heal him." And then the servant said, "No, you don't have to come. Send your word." So what scripture was he quoting, the centurion? Psalm 107, verse 20. He was quoting the Psalms. Can you put that up, Steve? So the first story about the healing of the leper refers to the law of Moses. The second story of the healing of the centurion's servant refers to the Psalms. You sent your word. Jesus, you don't have to go. Send your word. My servant's going to be healed. And that came through the mouth of David. You sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Praise God that Jesus heals in the Psalms and not just in the law. Amen? That you could be singing and worshiping God and God could heal you. And I've seen that. I've seen it and we'll keep seeing it. Praise God. You sent out your word and healed them and delivered them from all destruction. I'll tell you, verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell his deeds in songs of joy. Now, the rest of the psalm, look what it says. Some went down to the sea in ships. So this psalm is about the Lord blessing people, not in Israel, right? Overseas. So God wants to heal people through the law of Moses. God wants to heal people through the Psalms. And he wants to heal Jews. And he wants to heal Gentiles. This is all about going down the seas of ships. They saw the deeds of the Lord. You know what it says? He commanded to raise the stormy wind and mount up to heaven. They cried to the Lord and he delivered them. It's all about, look, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love in verse 31. So I just really believe that Matthew was saying, look, God can touch you folks that are from the Moses and heal you, and God's going to heal the Gentiles, and he used the Psalms to show Jesus' glory. Now let's go one more place. Let's go to the next one in that passage. Let's go down now to verse 14. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, we're looking at verse 14, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. So with the law of Moses, he just spoke to that man. He said, it's my will, right? And if you want to know the will of God, where are you going to go? Ten Commandments. Where's that? Law of Moses. If you want to know how God wants to reach the world, you go to the Psalms. If you want to know how God cares about you, you go to the prophets. There's nothing like a prophet to reveal the heart of God to an individual like this. So Jesus went to Peter's house. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever, and it says that he touched her hand and the fever left her. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. So these three miracles are put right in a row. The first miracle from the law that refers to the law of Moses. The second miracle that refers to the Psalms. And the third miracle that refers to the prophets. Healing in the entire scripture. Right there. And it's interesting, the one that has to do with the law of Moses has to do with the will of God. The one that has to do with healing of the nations, right, is in worship and music. And then the other one has to do with prophets. And I want you to look at this one about the prophets. That, number one, Jesus didn't just utter a word. It says that he touched her hand. I believe prophets bring God close to people. That's what prophets do. Prophets have the ability to take the Lord and make him real in an individual way. The second thing prophets hear that has to do with healing with prophets has to do with the fact, so Jesus touched her. Jesus could have issued a word. He didn't. He just didn't say something. He touched her. And God wants to touch people with your hands because we're his prophets. And it says the fever left her and she began to rise and serve him. Prophets are servants. And so notice that she was a servant of the Lord. And so the Lord wants to continue to show that healing will make you be able to serve the Lord. Last but not least, it says that there were many who were oppressed by demons. I believe that when we're dealing with healing, it is not just speaking a word from the scripture to bring healing. Sometimes we have to operate in a level of authority, and that's what prophets do. They hear the rhema word of God. They speak the rhema word of God for that particular situation, and they take authority over spirits because they're not just dealing with situations. We're not just dealing with flesh and blood, right? Didn't Paul say that? We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Sometimes sicknesses are not simply a matter of flesh and blood. Can somebody say amen to that? Sometimes healing is not just a matter of physical persons, but sometimes you have to deal with principalities and powers. And when you get into the prophetic mode, that's when you begin to have authority in heavenly places, because you're not speaking just out of what you see in the scripture, but you're speaking as a word of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord. And so you're dealing with them as a messenger of the Lord, dealing with the messengers of Satan. And you're taking your authority over that situation, and you have to do that as a prophet. You have to do it as someone who will speak exactly what the Lord tells them to speak, because you're giving instructions and orders. Amen? Amen. It says that the fever left, and he cast out spirits with a rhema, with a word. Prophets Give Rhema words. Rhema words are the words that flow in the situation. The Logos word is the teaching word. It's the word that lays things out in a structured way that you can teach. But a Rhema word is when you have the word of the Lord for that moment, for that time. Amen. And prophets need to be able to function in the Rhema word of the Lord, because you're taking authority over the enemy. Praise the Lord. So we're seeing, and that comes out of Isaiah. It comes out of the, and we've got all these other prophets. Why? Because they spoke the word in season. They spoke the word in season. Part of the ministry of a prophet to bring healing is not just to know how to pray for something, but when to pray and what to say. Amen. Amen. I just think this is very, very important. I want us to see this fullness of teaching, and the Matthew starts out his gospel with the fullness of truth about healing. God wants to heal in this place. God wants to heal at this time. God wants to heal in this season. And he's telling us, I'm telling you, there's healing in the law of Moses. There's healing in the prophets. And there's healing in worship. There's healing in the entire scripture and the word of God. You can find healing no matter what, because any scripture that has to do with Jesus is going to bring healing to a situation. Amen? And God wants to raise the level of healing in this place. God wants to bring about a greater fullness of the truth. We have been operating, I feel like I'm speaking by the word of the Lord, we have been operating in a partial truth, and we've been too satisfied. God says it's time to get the fullness of the word of God in you. It is time to worship the word. It is time to prophesy the word. And it is time to preach the word. Amen. You need all three. Praise the Lord. Because God wants to bring healing to his people. He wants to bring deliverance to his people. He wants his people to know the will of God. And so you got to teach the will of God, because people won't ask for something they don't think God wants to give them. So you teach them. But then at the same time, you need to know that he is the power of God for your situation. And so you need to be prophesying to them, and you need to be dealing with the authorities in that situation, and you need to bring healing to them that way. Because there are servants that are bound that need to be released. Think about that. I'm speaking the word of the Lord. There are Peter's mamas all over the place that need to be serving, and they're hindered by spirits. And they need to be delivered. Because God wants to raise up servants for him. And they need to be set free to serve God in this time. Amen? Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord has a new realm, and a new place of teaching the word of God and acquiring the word of God in this place. And I don't know what it's exactly going to look like, but I'm speaking the word of the Lord right now. There's going to be an increase of the training and the equipping with the word of God. And it's not just going to be that teaching or that teaching. There's going to be a fullness in the Psalms, a fullness of worship. There's going to be a fullness of prophesying, and there's going to be a fullness of teaching that is going to amaze you, folks. We're going to see it happen. It's been over this place. It's time it start. Yeah. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Can we put our faith to that? Can we put our agreement to that? Can we say, yes, Lord, that you're going to bring about a new realm of the word of the Lord, and a new realm of preaching, and a new realm of teaching, and it's going to bring deliverance, not just to the local folk, but how do you know? Send that word out there. God, you can send that word halfway around the world, and it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. Amen. And this church has always walked in that, but I believe there's a new realm of even sending the word out. And watching God's servants be healed and delivered and set free, because God wants to touch everyone. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on, let's stand up and give God a praise. I feel like I've released the word now. We just need to thank God and give him glory. Father, we give you praise right now for the fullness of the word of God. Father, we thank you that healing is more than just a Bible verse. It is the presence of Jesus coming about and speaking his will and speaking his ways and exercising his authority, Lord God, in the fullness of the word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the law. We thank you that you've given us the prophets. And we thank you that you've given us the poetry and the beauty of your worship, Lord God. Together, Lord God, we thank you that a threefold cord will not be broken of the word of God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Embrace the threefold cord of the scriptures.